Now we go to our guest. He's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, Senate Republican President Pro Tempore Len Fasano. I want to read, first of all, the statement he issued last week in the aftermath of what President Trump allegedly said. Quote, the comments on immigration reported to have been said by the president are beyond inappropriate and offensive. The Republican Party is one of inclusivity and rooted in the core value of providing all people the opportunity to achieve the American dream. The statements reported yesterday fly in the face of what it means to be a Republican and an American. The president should apologize for these disrespectful and outrageous comments. That said, we welcome Senator Fasano to the show. Senator, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning to the both of you. How are you all doing today?
Great. How are you, Senator?
Good, thank you. So, yes, you know, look, sometimes when there's a microphone in your face all the time, you say something that you regret later because the words just didn't come out the way you thought that they did. And, look, that's going to happen to a lot of politicians because every word is tracked. But when you make a misstep, I think you've got to face it and say, look, that isn't how I meant for it to come out, because I don't believe that's how I meant for it to come out. And I think he needs to apologize for those who he offended, because that maybe that was frustration at the negotiating table. I don't know. But you can't say those hurtful, harmful words that denote a sense that I don't think is part of the Republican Party. I know isn't part of the Republican Party, and certainly isn't part of being American.
Senator, this president, for some reason, does not apologize, though.
He doesn't. He doesn't.
No, he actually said in an interview that he doesn't apologize, and that's very, very unfortunate. You know, look, in my caucus, Senator Logan's parents, and he's a new guy up there, moved from Guatemala. Senator Wong's family moved from communist China. Senator Lanier's grandparents escaped on a raft from Cuba. Senator Boucher, who's running for governor, their family came from Italy. So we've all come, and I'm in my caucus, there's a diversity of people fleeing their country only a generation or so ago for various reasons. And I don't care if there's persecution, and this country is the land of opportunity and the ability to get ahead. And I think when you say words like that, you connote a feeling that certain people from certain segments of the world are not wanted. And I think that going through the process, they should be welcomed in our country.
You know, when I was growing up, and I grew up on my grandfather's dairy farm, and I, just as a young boy, never even thought of color, never thought of anything, because we were with folks of all kinds. And when I hear somebody like a Donald Trump, who happens to be president of the United States, when I hear some of his comments, and then I hear people say, well, I didn't do that, I didn't say that, I didn't mean that, I just don't understand. I can't understand when they talk about Africa, when he talks about Africa, but then he mentions Norway. Now, why can't we have people from Norway come in here instead? Do you know, and this troubles me, and it should trouble anybody that voted for him.
And it does give a lot of trouble. The juxtaposition between Haiti and Africa to Norway, that should give people pause. And it's, you know, he's the president of the United States. He's first of all, it's a standard that normal everyday working people get, but he's held to a higher standard. He is the president of the United States. And as president of the United States, he represents all of us when he speaks. And, you know, for him to say he never apologizes and won't apologize and argues that that isn't what I said, I have yet, other than him, I've yet to see anybody who's in the media. Even the White House didn't refute the words, argued the intent, but didn't refute the words. You know, there comes a time you have to do a mea culpa and apologize and move on. As I said, sometimes words slip and sometimes you say things off the cuff you really didn't mean. And as a politician, there's that microphone in your face. But when you do it, you need to say, hey, look, that isn't what I meant, or I apologize for using those choice of words. It was wrong language. But so it does give me some trouble. I have to admit, it does give me some trouble. And I have not commented on a lot of things that the president has done because that's Washington and my job's local. But when that line was crossed, in my view, I had to speak up for my caucus and for the party.
Senator, hold on. We're going to get a quick traffic update, and then we'll be back with Senate Republican President Len Fasano.
18 minutes now after the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning, and a very special guest, the senator, Senator Len Fasano, is with us frequently here in the morning.
And, Brad, we're talking about President Trump. You know, Senator, I have to tell you, Brad and I, we've been taking a lot of heat since Friday when we said that Trump should resign. But beyond that, people who are calling in support of this president, it's amazing how they will defend him to the hilt, even over some of the things he's saying. Do you find that disconcerting? Well, what's your reaction to all of that?
Well, you know, I do. To separate some things here, I think that economically, his model or his thought process has done pretty well for the United States. We had two quarters in which we had better than 3% growth. The stock market is the highest it's ever been. The confidence, I saw a report from Small Business Association just before the weekend saying that this is the highest confidence level that small businesses have had in decades, or at least a decade. I shouldn't say decades, but at least a decade. And, you know, that's all very good for our economy, which seems to be chugging along. And maybe that's a tribute to the fact that he's a very good businessman and has some good ideas to bring the strength, and the confidence is coming back. That's all very good. And that's different than him on these other issues. And where he's done, I think, a decent job on the economy, his tweets and the need to lash out at everything gives me pause. He's the president. There are going to be a number of people who just don't like him no matter what he does. And that's true for every politician. No matter what you do, there can be a number of people who just don't appreciate you. And you got to let it go. And you got to move on and do what you think is right to the best of your ability. But he feels this need to just continually lash out at people. And I don't think that's very presidential. I understand he wants to tweet out his policies, and I think that's fair game because he feels the media on the national doesn't give him a fair shake, and he wants to do his explanation. You know, I'm kind of okay with that, but this need to take personal attacks at people who really are of no import to, I think, the voting public, he demeans the office when he does that. I just wish he would just do his job because economically he's got the right ideas, apparently, and leave all this other nonsense behind.
Does he make your job more difficult simply because we know what the state Democrats are going to do, even though this involves state offices, state elections? They're going to tie the state GOP to Donald Trump.
I think it does make my job a lot more difficult to do, and all of my caucus a lot more difficult to do, because you're right. There, in 2018, the Democrats are going to take Donald Trump and say, you're Donald Trump, and everything Donald Trump says is you. And I think that's going to be make that difficult road. He also, I think, unwittingly takes a certain group and sets them on fire and energizes them. And they're being backed, these particular groups are being backed by some money in Washington. And it's going to make it difficult for the House and the Senate, and I'm sure in other states as well that are either blue states or flip states.
Again, when we talk about man-to-man, when we talk about respect, I think what got me, if somebody says to me, Brad, what was it that really knocked you out with what he said? The statement about Norway. That was the one. He put down Africa, okay? Put down Africa, put down Haiti, but then he said, and we should have more people coming in. I'm just paraphrasing now. We should have more people coming in from Norway, from those particular countries. That bothered me. And that, to me, is not American at all, that statement. And that's what really did it for me.
And I think he, once again, giving him the benefit of the doubt to some extent, he if he meant something different than the words that were laid out, he has an obligation to stand up and say, that is not what I meant, what people are reading into the statement. But he hasn't. And that, to me, is an issue. You have to stand up and say, look, bad choice, bad correlation. This is what I really meant, whatever the heck he meant. But leaving it open the way he does and doing deniability doesn't work. He's the president of the United States. He owes an explanation. That's how I feel about it.
Senator, before we let you go, there's word that the governor is going to veto the Medicare savings plan that was passed last week in special session. But it looks as if you're going to have more than enough votes to override the veto if it comes to that. What are your comments on that?
Well, a couple of things. One, I just don't understand this guy at all. And it infuriates me and frustrates me that this governor believes that no solution is a good solution unless he blesses it. And that's very troubling to me. There's so many problems here, but let me just say it short. He said, you don't have to worry about it if I veto this because I have extended the program through July 1st or up to July 1st. Well, you can't. You're the executive branch. We're the legislative branch. You can't ignore the laws of the statute because you're governor. You don't have that power. You can't create laws. So for him to say we're going to extend the program is unconstitutional. It's not worth the fight to go to court, but it's unconstitutional. You don't have that power. You're the executive branch. This guy just thinks he's omnipotent. And that he could do whatever he wants. That's number one. Number two, the fact that he feels that unless he's there giving answers, he's embarrassed and he has to assert this macho power, which really gives me trouble as well. The legislature spoke, a vast majority. Now the question becomes, will the two leaders, Senator Looney and the Speaker of the House, call us in to override the veto? That I cannot speak to. I hope they do. But they may not. They may not. They may sit back and say, well, we have to do deficit mitigation. And then they have to understand that what they're saying is they're okay with the executive branch acting as a legislature, that the executive branch has the power to override the legislature by enacting laws that the legislature did not approve. And if they're okay with that, then I question what they're doing for their job.
Wow.
We have an obligation.
And there's already talk. We know that the legislature convenes on February the 7th of tolls, increasing the sales tax, various and sundry other taxes. What are you hearing and what are your thoughts?
Do you think we're going to have tolls?
Let me go back to the tolls. So the tolls, you cannot have tolls on the border, otherwise you got to pay back the federal government all the money that you received since 1984. So you have to do what's called congestion tolls. The only reason why we're talking about tolls is because the Democrats refuse to accept the Republican position, which we have a project, a plan we put out there called Prioritize Progress, which puts $67 billion over 30 years for transportation, more than enough. But because it's our idea, being Republicans, they refuse to accept it. That's just fundamentally wrong. You can't get tolls, even if tolls were to work, which no one has any evidence that they do work, and even the commissioner says, I don't know. First, you have to do a study, which will cost $5 million, which, yeah. Look, I'm okay with doing the study. And then the best scenario for ever getting tolls would be 5 years from now. So even if you did it, it's not going to pay dividends till 5 years from now, if at all. If at all. And that's important to note. Nobody knows, because it's a very complicated model, according to the DOT commissioner, not Len Fasano. But you cannot put it at the borders. It's illegal. We have to pay back the federal government. So then you do these congestions. And, you know, it's all going to cost us more money. Whether on 95, 91, Route 15, Route 9, 84, we're all going to be paying. That's all these guys ever do, go back to taxing the working people just to go to work now.
Wow. I tell you, it's...
It's going to be a wild ride, no pun intended, but it all starts on February 7th. Senator, as always, thanks very much for joining us this morning and sharing your thoughts with us, and we'll be talking quite a bit down the road.
Hey, thanks again.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Senator, he does a
Republican
good job.
President Len Fasano.